You know, there's a couple things here. When Channing Frye, I'm gonna throw an audible at you here for a second here, Owen. I want to ask, you know, would you guys just rather maybe keep the core four? Would you maybe just rather do something like that? Now let me throw this out there though. Here's Channing Frye on his pod, that's our other buddy, it's the Road Tripping podcast, where he talks about Jared Allen, and there's some strong language in here from former Cavalier Channing Frye about one Jared Allen.
Jared Allen is not a playoff big man. He is not physically dominant. He is not aggressive. Is he a good dude? Absolutely. Is he a great regular season all-star caliber player? Absolutely. Do you know what bothered me the most about that series? Do you ever watch the film on when DeAndre Hunter got hit in his stomach and everyone ran over? Mm-hmm. Do you ever watch when there's a little scuffle where he is at all times? At some point, as the main dude, the biggest dude on your team, you got to f*** somebody up once in a while. He is a great NBA player. If you want to win a chip, no other big man respects him. Miles Turner was whooping his ass. Pascal Siakam was going at him. You look at that Knicks series 3 years ago, they were dogging him out. I don't care what he works on this summer. He got to work on this and this. Keep yourself in shape. Keep the fro tight. Work on those two things because you're being exposed now as soft.
So I like these guys because I feel that they are more obviously sympathetic to the plight of the Cleveland Cavalier fan and the Cleveland fan in general. I think that they've certainly got to know the fan base over the last several years. I don't know if I've heard this type of stuff, and maybe I've missed an episode or two. I don't know if I've heard this type of language thrown at Jared Allen in the past. And so it makes me think, like, while Kobe Altman said what he said yesterday in his press conference, hey, you know, we're going to learn from this and we're going to get better, and the things that you have to say, makes me wonder if Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson, who was also very strongly worded throughout this podcast here, this last episode they had, makes me wonder if they know something's going to happen. Like, something's going to happen here. Like, if you're willing to take the gloves off fully, maybe that's it. Maybe finally that's it, and something's going to happen with somebody here. And at their point, he could very just be that much strong, like wanting Jared Allen to get his act together in the postseason because, hey, this is three postseasons in a row. We've been pretty disappointed in the man, frankly. He might be begging for something like that to happen, but, man, to say those type of things about Miles Turner whooping his ass, quote-unquote, that's strong, and it makes me wonder, does he know something's going to happen here? Maybe. I don't know. It's just a theory. I'm running with the theory, Tone. That's
well,
all.
We have had one central question about the Cavs since they brought in Donovan Mitchell, and it's, you know, the two guards and the two bigs. And we've tried to play basketball a little differently than everybody else. Ironically, you're seeing other teams also kind of reinvent what we know about successful teams in the NBA, like the Pacers. No team would have tried to emulate what the Pacers have done to get to back-to-back Eastern Conference finals. Minnesota has got a very interesting, where they have a small guard. I mean, Mike Conley, a small guard who gets picked on just like Darius Garland, right? And then they have a Rudy Gobert who just a few years ago was getting run right off the floor in a playoff series. And now they could be going to the NBA Finals. They can beat Oklahoma City. So all these teams kind of have a unique look. And so I've got to catch myself in not talking about the NBA playoffs the same way that maybe I've talked about it or what constitutes a championship team. So I want to make sure, like Kobe Altman yesterday in his press conference was basically like, never say never. Like, you know, different championship teams can be built different ways. And looking at these final four teams, he'd be right. The question is, can the Cavs, as they are built, is that a team that can get through? Because Indiana's nothing like the Knicks team we got bounced a few years ago, and certainly nothing like the Orlando team that got, maybe you could say, well, there's some physical traits that are similar. But there really is no commonality in all these teams that have eliminated us. We've just seemed to lose to different types of teams every year.
Yeah, that's been kind of the problem that I think people have had here. And if you run it back, this is going to be a label here that you're going to have to fight all year long. And here's Kobe Altman about that label, about being a good regular season team.
The narrative is going to be the narrative. People are going to write what they're going to write. We have to change that. That's on us. And the only way to do that is win. We have to live in that space. We have to own that space. And we have to create our own narrative.
And the problem with all that is he's right. But the problem with all that is you can't prove any of that until next postseason. Because you could win 65 games this year and people are not going to care.
Who said they could go 82-0?
If you run,
it doesn't matter.
I forget who the hell it was, but they were right.
It was Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, jeez.
It wasn't Donovan. Yes. Okay. He's right. He's totally right. If you run this back,
you can't get mad. You guys cannot get mad when the talking heads are going to doubt the team all next year. If you're a big believer in the core four, and you're like, no, we're going to be fine. The East is wide open next year with Boston taking a step back, potentially Milwaukee trading Giannis to the Western Conference. You're looking at the Philadelphia 76ers nobody believes in.
Yeah.
Just the same way nobody believes in the Cavs in the playoffs because of Embiid and the injury stuff. And will they have Paul George? Will they be making a trade? The Knicks and the Pacers seem like now they're ahead of you, but in the regular season, feels like the Cavs can win more games than those teams just based on how they're built. But you just can't get mad. If you're a big advocate of running it back, you can't get mad that nobody's going to believe in you come playoff time.
They have handcuffed me on that argument of getting mad at some of the people, and I'm sure I have, and I'm sure there's receipts of the 2015 Hawks argument. Some of the other great regular season teams that have been thrown in there. I got nothing. Now, I don't want to make a move just to fight that, just to have some zest and to say, all right, let's get excited about the regular season again. Like, I don't want to do that, but I just know you're not going to be able to really prove anything until you get to next postseason. And I think that people look at Jared Allen, and I think it's been the same thing with him and with Darius Garland to some degree. You know, Darius Garland is a tremendously talented player. And if you were going to talk talent versus talent, I think you would obviously put Darius Garland ahead of Jared Allen. And also, I think Jared Allen is an easier tradable piece than what Darius Garland is. You're looking for elite. How do you get elite from, again, a 6'1 guard who does have a strong history of injuries? And not heavy contact injuries, but he's just not of big size. And in a league where you are now looking at 6'7", 6'8", guys who can also shoot the three, who can also go to the post, can take that type of a beating there, it's a weird land for Darius Garland. So even though I think he's more talented than Jared Allen, that's not setting off any alarms. He's also almost impossible to trade as much as people are angry about him. Again, who's going to go after him unless you are a bad team that you're trying to save yourself or a middling team what you're trying to save yourself and you're thinking, hey, this guy, he's going to score a lot of points in games and he's going to win us a lot of regular season games because Darius can do that. Darius can do that. As a number one, I think Darius could take a team that is back end of the lottery and put them in the playoffs. I think that Darius can do that. And maybe there's a general manager out there that can get another team, a third team involved, who can do that. But Jared Allen is the easier piece to trade. And so I don't want it to turn into a pile-on here because, again, I think it's going to be a very difficult thing to move any of these guys. So now I guess I got to rub Jared Allen's nose in it and tell him, hey, this is year three. I don't know when you're going to be able to get out there and actually do what you're supposed to do as an interior player in the NBA. And maybe he just never will, and people think maybe I should just stop even having hope for him.
Well, we knew when we drafted Evan Mobley, if Evan Mobley is on the curve that we want him to be, and it feels like after 4 years, Evan Mobley seems like he's ready to take off, right? In fact, I think if he would have got the ball more in the Pacers series, I think we might have seen that. We might have seen him take off in a big way. I mean, the shot attempts just weren't there for him in a series where nobody could guard him. So I had a problem fundamentally with that. And is that part of the issue with the construct of this team that you do have two guards that want to get up a lot of shots? As I told you, I wasn't happy that Darius, with his injury situation, I was proud that he played and gutted it out those last few games. I thought that showed some toughness.
I think that's what he was trying to do.
And you know what? I think that did prove something to a lot of people. At the same time, he wasn't right. Why was he taking more shots than Evan Mobley in that game? But we've always known with the two guards set up and then with another center playing next to him, another big man, it's a little clunky in terms of fit. So how do you free that up?
Was he taking more shots because he was trying to prove to some of the people that he's tough enough to play? Because that's going to be, you can press too much about this sort of thing, man. But I do believe you can get tougher. I don't know what you learned to get tougher, but I believe you can get tougher. Usually that comes with embarrassment. Usually that comes with you tired of being told what you are, you tired of being made fun of, and you stepping up and defending yourself. That's what it's supposed to be about. Because I can't guarantee that they're able to make a move, and I don't want to just make a move to just make a move. I'm not just going to fire up some trade machine.
Nobody wants to do that.